Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Us live on the radio right now. You know, this is the extra hour of Montana Talks, and it's so great that we have this extra hour, because if all I had was the 1 9 o'clock hour of our statewide show, that's when we come on the radio here in Glendive. If that's the only hour I had, man, it's fast moving. It's like, okay, and we've got a lot of guests who are going to be here likely for the gate show itself. So a whole bunch of folks that are going to be filling the auditorium here for the trade show and more. And so it'd be like, boom, boom, you know, getting to a lot of guests. But thankfully, if you're listening to us right now on 880 KJJR Kalispell, or if you're listening to us on KINX out of Great Falls, KXTL out of Butte, KMMS out of Bozeman, KBUL out of Billings, and KPRK Livingston, you get this extra hour of the show. And so thankfully, we got a whole bunch of extra time here, and we get to catch up with former State Senator Steve Heinbaugh. He's going to be sidekicking with us here for the full hour. Senator Heinbaugh, great to see you, and thanks so much for coming down.
Thank you, Aaron, and we appreciate what you do for the conservative cause and for what you, thank you for coming for Eastern Montana. It's good for you to be here.
Well, we appreciate your years of service, just always a solid conservative in the legislature. And I think about my late Uncle Monty, who is, you know, longtime rancher, first up near Glasgow, and then they moved the family, bought the family ranch down here near Fallon, and he was just always a nonsense, common sense guy, and that's exactly who you were in Helena throughout your tenure.
And I appreciate Monty also, and we had some good talks, and we didn't differ much on what we talked about, so it was great to have him, and I miss him because I got to do that quite often. So
yeah, 8 years in the state senate, and now you're out, so now you can really let it rip and just say what you really think. Not that ever stopped you before, though, right?
No, I generally said what I thought, and sometimes people say, you keep talking like that, and they're going to kick you out of here. And they didn't ever, I guess, but we'll see how that works.
That also sounds more like a reward. That doesn't sound like a punishment.
No, that's what I was looking for, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. Well, there's all sorts of crazy stuff in the news, all sorts of stuff to talk about. I don't know if you saw the updated breaking news out of Bozeman. 6 Trende Aragua known members of this violent Venezuelan illegal alien prison gang, 6 known members and their associates arrested yesterday in Bozeman and Belgrade. That's now been officially confirmed by HSI, Homeland Security Investigations. The governor's put out a statement. I've been talking about this all week. We've had, you know, a former FBI Hispanic gang expert say, yeah, this is exactly what we told you was going on.
It was a no-brainer, wasn't it? I mean, we kept letting people in, and we know that there's people in this world that want to wreck this country, and they just kept letting them in and letting them in, and it was going to happen.
And now we know it was intentional, mm-hmm. because they just kept doing it. And when we put the spotlight on Trende Aragua and Aurora, oh, no, nothing to see here, folks. It's just a handful of apartment complexes. Yeah, I've got the full story. Go to MontanaTalks.com about the Trende Aragua arrests in Bozeman. We'll talk more with Senator Heinbaugh right after this.
Fox in the Fast Lane.
NASCAR Cup Series drivers kick off the 2025 season this Sunday in the 67th running of the Daytona 500. The front row for the race was set Wednesday night in qualifying, and Chase Briscoe was off to a good start with his new Joe Gibbs Racing team, placing the number 19 Toyota on the pole. 2022 Daytona 500 champion Austin Cindric starts alongside him. The rest of the field was determined in the dual races Thursday night. 9 open teams competed for 4 spots available in the Daytona 500. Former NASCAR Cup Series champions Martin Truex Jr. and Jimmy Johnson were the 2 fastest open teams, while the other 2 spots went to the highest finishing open charter teams in the dual races. 4-time Indy 500 champion Julio Castroneves is using a new rule to enter the Daytona 500. That rule allows NASCAR to add a car to the field driven by a part-time Cup Series competitor. The green flag waves at 2:30 p.m. Eastern. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.
Coming up on Friday's Montana Talks, we're going to have some great guests talking agriculture, talking energy, and much more. Plus, we'll have the hot beef sandwiches coming up at lunchtime. You got to come down and see us if you're in eastern Montana, or if you can make the trip to Glendive for the Glendive Agri-Trade Expo. I'm hoping former Senator Steve Heinbaugh will come down and join us. Some incredible artists in Glendive as well. It's going to be a fun show. Friday's Montana Talks, broadcasting live from the Gate Show, the Glendive Agri-Trade Expo.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the back seat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly, so get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I definitely want to just ask former State Senator Steve Heinbaugh out of Weibo, Montana, great rancher. Just tell you what's going on in eastern Montana. What's the conversations here in farm and ranch country on, you know, the news of the day or what's going on in agriculture? President Trump's cabinet members, all that. What's going on in Helena? Everything, but Senator Heinbaugh, man. First off, it's just crazy to see it playing out in real time. Everything we've been talking about, everything we've been warning about, and then we had this guest on earlier in the week saying, "Yep, this is who it is. It's Trende Aragua." And then, boom, everything we've been talking about all week now confirmed yesterday with these, you know, known associates and TDA operatives arrested in Belgrade and Bozeman. But, you know, the good news here is not only are these arrests happening thanks to a new sheriff in town named Donald J. Trump and then his deputy, Tom Homan, but this is spurring action now. Dan Bruner, who's this former FBI Hispanic gang expert that lives in Bozeman, he told me just a few minutes ago, he said, "Aaron, I had tribal leaders reach out to me. They want me to come up there. They want me to talk with them, talk with folks, and figure out how to deal with this problem." Because, you know, he was calling out the fact that Trende Aragua scurried, the cockroaches, you know, scurried out of Aurora, Colorado, and they went as far north as northeast Montana.
Yeah, it's quite a deal, and it's amazing to me how the effort that people put in to try to wreck this country. And you know, we've talked about whether it was on person or not, it had to be. I mean, it's amazing how this all worked out. So it's scary too. It's scary for, you know, we got 18 grandkids and a couple greats. And so it makes you scared for them, you know. So.
18 grandkids. Wow. That is wild. I'm going to just tilt your microphone up just a little bit. There we go. In fact, speaking of the kids and grandkids, I know you'd rather be out feeding cows right now in this 5-degree weather. So I appreciate you sacrificing and coming into the warm Epic Center. The kids are feeding the cows for you right now. So
I hope so. You know, Beth and I spent about 3 weeks in Arizona and Las Vegas, and we just got back. So we wonder, you know, where what we're thinking being back here now. So, anyway.
Well, you got to ease back into things. We don't want to just throw you out into the cold right away. So, we'll ease you in here, get you a warm cinnamon roll in a few minutes here, and you'll be good to go. Yeah.
Good. That'll be great.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm glad you're able to get out and get and enjoy some time. And you and your wife, because your wife, Beth, I mean, both of you, every day you served in the legislature, she was there serving right along with you and probably your chief counselor there. During the session,
she certainly was, and you know, and I didn't know how to turn the computer on, so I needed her to be there, you know, I don't know how it works for other people that don't have their wives there all the time, but she was always a rock for me. So
there was a few of the legislative spouses that were just rock stars in there, and I remember her and some of her sidekicks that. You know, the left-wing media tried to attack because these women dared to sit on a bench by the cafe. You had Keith Regeer, former Senator Keith Regeer's wife there, and she was another rock. And she had her husband and two of her kids serving in the legislature. One's the Senate president now.
Yeah, so they're great people, and they became great friends. Actually, this spring they came over and helped us brand. So, you know, that's what you miss about the legislature is the great friends that were there. And they certainly are rock solid, and it was good to have them as friends. So.
Yeah, I saw one headline I saw earlier this morning was a legislative headline, and they were focusing on a couple of different bills that lawmakers are working on right now to help tackle this illegal alien invasion that we've seen here in Montana and across this country. And you already see the typical response from some of the leftists and the Democrat operatives on X, Twitter, whatever you call it. Oh, come on, let's address real issues. This is a real issue. The crime and the drugs, the meth, the fentanyl. Trende Aragua arrest just took place yesterday in Bozeman. And yet still the same party line from the leftists in Montana and the Democrat Party saying, oh, come on, this isn't that big of an issue. It's crazy.
No, that's right. And you know, it's amazing to me how they can think how they think. And you know, and I guess when I had several situations where we worked on bills and worked on bills with trying to get some votes. And when you talk to that left, they always would try to make, say words that, to soften the message up. So it wasn't quite so tough. And that's, you know, they weren't, so they could think like they were doing good instead of not, you know. So,
yeah. Virtue signaling. Yeah. We care more than you do about everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were never truly held accountable, except for people like you and those of us in the conservative social media sphere calling them out and talking common sense. Well, hold that thought. Senator Heinbaugh, I'd also love to get your take on, you know, the fracture in the state Senate right now. You've got 8 or 9 Republicans kind of appearing to undermine their elected Republican leadership. And I know that frustrates a lot of people out there. I want to get your take on that right after the break here and much more. Hey, first, you know, we're here in Glendive and it's warmed up. I mean, it's, what is it, 5 degrees out there now. But every time those front doors open, you can feel that cold air come in. Some of you know what I'm talking about because you stand next to your windows and you can feel the cold air coming through your closed windows. Well, you're losing a lot of money. You can upgrade to energy efficient triple pane windows and you're going to see a big difference, not just in comfort, but in your energy bills. Let me tell you about YHIC, your home improvement company. They've got an unbeatable deal. You can buy 2 windows, get 2 free. Yes, free. It's a deal you don't want to miss. Easy financing, no money down, no interest, no payments until 2026. Seriously, upgrading your windows has never been easier. So, again, you can call YHIC 406-948-2836 to schedule your free in-home consultation. Buy 2 windows, get 2 free with YHIC. Your home improvement company and very easy financing right now. No money down, no interest, no payments till 2026. Go to YHIC.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Any graduate student can make things complicated. An old mentor of mine once told me as a student, it takes a genius to make things simple. And we clearly celebrate simplicity. Why simplicity? In all aspects of life. Einstein's famous equation, the golden rule, even football coach Al Davis telling us to just win, baby. But here's the rub. With the new tools of AI, artificial intelligence, complexity is no longer the barrier to making decisions that used to be. AI can be thought of as a prediction machine. It lets us take literally trillions of pieces of information into account to make decisions. The kinds of filters we use to make complicated questions understandable may give worse results than tools which literally consider everything. Of course, humans ultimately need to understand why an AI machine came to a conclusion. If the computer tells you to step off the cliff, do you do it? Simple explanations may be valuable, but in an AI world, they aren't always the best. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. It is said that you can make the sun rise in the West if you can get unanimous consent in the Senate. In other words, all 100 senators agree without objection to approve an amendment or a bill or whether to meet, say, at 10 a.m. on a Tuesday. The Senate voted recently to confirm Doug Burgum as Interior Secretary 79-18. But 5 days later, the vote tally changed 80-17. The reason? Democratic California Senator Alex Padilla switched his mind. Padilla went to the Senate floor and said he intended to vote aye, but mistakenly voted nay. So a few days later, Padilla asked unanimous consent to switch his vote from a no to a yes. No one was on the Senate floor, so there was no objection. And voila, Padilla had effectively voted in favor of Burgum days after opposing him. It's rare for a senator to take a mulligan on such a high-profile vote, especially on a vote to confirm a cabinet secretary. Vote changes occur with a little more frequency in the House of Representatives, but often later that day or the next, not a full 5 days later. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Hey, we're broadcasting live from Glendive, so if you would like to be heard on Montana Talks this morning, well, hey, you can come down and we'll have a microphone open for you if you're in Glendive or on the way here to Glendive, or send us a message on the Montana Talks app. So if you're in Kalispell right now, you can message us on the Montana Talks app, and then we've got our producer, Caden, actually on site with us, so it's actually cool. He's actually pulling up the messages here as I'm chatting with you on the air. And then big thanks to our friend Michael Foth. He's got great family there in the Gallatin Valley. In fact, if you ever drive to Helena from Three Forks and you pass the Foth Farms sign, I believe, his brother's place, if I'm not mistaken. And so anyway, great guy. He's covering the studio. Thanks for getting up even earlier so that we could break Caden out of the studio and give him a chance to meet all the fine folks here in Glendive for the Gates Show. But great to catch up here with former State Senator Steve Heinbaugh. Steve, you know, when we look at the State Senate right now, it's so unfortunate to see. We've got a good thing going in Montana, finally. Republicans, I think, have finally made this a red state. Hopefully, once and for all, Republicans have all the statewide offices, the federal offices now, and we've got control of the legislature, maybe not the supermajority of 2 years ago, but still control nonetheless. And so that's why it's just so frustrating to see when you have 8 or 9 Republicans voting with the Democrats to undermine their own caucus leadership. And I know there might be various motivations or reasoning why, but you're still like, come on, guys, because you know how things could quickly unravel and give the other side an opportunity.
Yeah, and I think I appreciate that that outlook on things. And I think what we need to do, or, you know, it's really frustrating to see this happen. You know, and you always wonder, if I was there, how much what could I do to help it out, and what could I do anyway to help it out, because this isn't about me. It isn't about anybody. I think it's about freedom, about trying to make things better for Montana. And, you know, and people say, well, you know, maybe they're too radical. We're going to have to start pushing the envelope somehow or another on these deals. You know, we got a $37 trillion debt in the United States, and we're working on a $17 billion budget in Montana, which is a lot more than it was when I first started there. And, you know, $17 billion is $17,000 per man, woman, and child. That's about as much government as we can afford every 2 years. If you have a family of four, that's $68,000 with a government that probably about enough, I'd say. And so if we don't start pushing envelopes someplace, we're gonna start, you know, we're gonna just keep going that way. And so that's what's important to me is freedom. Like I was telling Aaron a little bit ago. We've got 18 grandkids and two greats, and I'm just a little bit worried about what might happen to them if we keep pushing this thing the way it has been. So.
Are you less worried now, though, that Donald J. Trump is president? Because, boy, he's really turning things around, and I think even more than a lot of his backers even thought he would be able to start turning things around.
You know, I appreciate what he's done, and I've to tell you the truth, I wasn't a big Trump guy when he first ran, but he's done way more than anybody ever thought he would do the first term, and look what he's starting out with now. I mean, he's got Elam up there, and they're going to cut some stuff, and all the stuff they've exposed is it's amazing to me what they've done. You know?
Yeah. And back to the state Senate right now, there is this fracture, there is this split in the Republican caucus, but by and large, if I'm not mistaken, it's mostly affecting the rules and the operating procedures, and certainly it undermines the leadership, which is not good because that affects the ability for certain things to get to the floor or not get to the floor, you name it. But hopefully, at least when it comes to the major issues, they can vote together, they can stand together. I know one area they did stand together on was a bill to protect women and women's safe spaces and stand up to this radical transgender agenda. All the Republicans held together there in the state Senate. And so some of these folks still have conservative voting records, at least. But still, you got to wonder when it comes to things like Medicaid expansion, for example. Well, if it looks like the writing's on the wall and it's going to pass anyway, well, let's get a solid work requirement, a court-proofed work requirement, as former Representative Tom Burnett has outlined. Maybe let's get a means test in there that also looks at the assets that some of these folks might have. They might have millions of dollars in assets, as former State Senator Eric Moore pointed out, but yet still qualify for the so-called free benefits that the rest of us have to pay for.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, when you look at this whole deal, I guess I've been involved in this a long time, and when I was at Stan Stevens' governor's ball in the 80s, I had two legislators from Alberta that I talked to quite a bit, and they said, you know, if you think education is hard to fund, wait till you start funding health care. And I think we're slowly trying to slip into that a little bit, and you know, if you look at what the Doug people are doing in the United States Congress and the United States budget, you can see that, hey, they might start cutting back on their funds. And everybody thinks this is free money, but if we have to pay 30% of our Medicaid expansion from the state instead of 90, or instead of 10 like we're paying now, it's really going to bite us hard, and who knows, maybe it'll go to 50, because they were talking about cutting a lot out on that whole deal, and free money isn't free. You know, that still comes from someplace.
Yeah, and they might say, okay, well, we only have to pay 10% now, but you're right. What if it changes? What if it's 30% now? Okay, what do we do then? Speaking of taxes and tax cuts, it's kind of interesting to watch what's going on in the Montana legislature right now, where you've got the governor wants to lower tax rates, income tax rates across the board once again. Great. The Senate, with a bill by Senator Yakovitch, wants to be more targeted on the middle class, as I understand it, and just lower it for people under a certain income threshold. On the face of it, I don't like that approach. That sounds like class warfare, what the Democrats typically do. But I also understand that there may be something, a unique catch to that as well. I was talking with Senate President Matt Regeer, and he said, well, there's also a trigger that's included in there. And once a certain threshold is met, then everybody else's taxes will come down as well. But then Speaker Lear out of Savage, who's doing a great job as Speaker as well, he's got a bill that would not only expand who is in the lowest tax rate, but it would still cut taxes for all. And I like the cut taxes for all approach, because if you make more, you're still going to pay a lot more with the same percentage.
And I think that's right. And you bring up Speaker Lear, he's my representative here, and I appreciate him a lot. He's got a lot going on, but like you say, we need to cut it for everybody, I guess. If you look at, you know, you can go back clear to the conspiracy theorist people hear them say that one of the planks in the Communist Manifesto is a graduated income tax. You know, the more you make, the more you pay, kind of a deal. And that I don't think is good for America. It's not good for freedom. It's not good for free enterprise. And because when somebody tries to do better, then they just get penalized more, and that's not a good idea. So I don't, you know, I guess I was at a meeting here not too long ago, and somebody said, we can't transfer, you know, we can't cut taxes too much because it'll start hurting us. I said, well, let's have this novel idea. Let's just start cutting back spending. How about if we don't spend as much? That might work all right.
Well, that's the key. I even heard, you know, our producer Caden will include the economic minute from Dr. Pat Barkey at the University of Montana's Bureau of Business and Economic Research. And he had a report the other day that was on the radio that said, you know, some people think that if we cut taxes, that will starve the beast of government. Some to that effect, that if we cut taxes, that'll starve the beast of government because then you won't have more money for the government. Well, that's not true, because we cut taxes for the last two sessions in a row. You were there. You helped deliver this tax relief, income tax relief, property tax rebates, and more. And what happened? Revenue grew, because just like we saw in the Reagan 80s and the Trump 2016s, is you cut taxes, you help the economy, we get to keep more of our money, and then revenues continue to grow. So if you really want to starve the beast, you've got to target the spending. You've got to do the Doge, like what Elon Musk and crew is doing, because cutting taxes is actually going to bring in more revenue to the government.
Oh, and that's a good point, and people don't understand that. You know, they make projections about how much they raise taxes, how much revenue that's going to bring in, but that doesn't... That don't ever ring true, and I think it's important to understand the more you cut taxes, like you said, the better the revenue will be.
It was interesting. So judicial reform, that's obviously a high priority. How frustrating was it for you that, you know, here you put in all the hard work and spend a lot of your time and personal money to travel this region, you know, a lot of dirt between light bulbs, especially in eastern Montana. And so you're going ranch to ranch, house to house. Some of these people, their legislative district is just in town. And so they walk a few blocks. Well, Lottie freaking dog, get out here and drive these roads, and especially sometimes bad roads. And you put in all that work. You get elected by your constituents, pass all these laws. The governor signs it into law. And then one judge in a black robe thinks that he gets to be the dictator that decides everything.
Yeah, that's really frustrating. And I was on the special select committee that looked at the judges, and they were pretty in your face about everything that they whenever they in fact they wouldn't come most of the time, but whenever they came, they were kind of you guys are kind of a lower level people. You don't understand the Constitution, and I didn't appreciate them a lot. But one thing, we're making strides on that, and I think we have a good judge appointed for this. For Bittiger Swat over here. And,
oh, yeah, because that was a vacancy, yeah. Yeah.
And so
who did they appoint for that?
They appointed Scott Herring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and I worked on that quite a bit with the lieutenant governor, and so hopefully we can keep that trend up and get good conservative judges in. So.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of funny. There was a tweet about how now Chief Justice Corey Swanson, who is a much-needed improvement, I said on X the other day, well, the inmates may no longer be running the asylum with Corey Swanson now at the helm, but there's still a whole lot of crazy at the Montana Supreme Court. But he's advocating for more judges. And, yeah, we need more judges. But our friend Jake Eaton chimed in and said, or maybe some of these judges need to work a full day instead of working half days, like he says some of them are doing. And he named a couple of judges when he did it as well. All right, we got to take a quick break. Stand by. More with former State Senator Steve Heinbaugh at Owebo as we're broadcasting live from the Gates Show in Glendive. And then I have one guest I'm going to sneak on as well.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
As Senator Heinbaugh yesterday, you know, luckily our producer Caden was driving the country station vehicle here as we were driving to Glendive, and so I was able to check Twitter and read some news and things like that. Well, I see this tweet from our friend Sam Rubino, who's been involved in Republican politics here in Montana and conservative politics, and he was talking about a citizens-only voting amendment. So I retweeted that, you know, A, because it's interesting that this is being talked about in Helena, but also it just makes stinking sense, doesn't it? You shouldn't be voting in our elections if you're not even a citizen.
It's a no-brainer, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. And we know it's been happening that non-citizens have been voting because we had the case up in Dodson, Montana, where two non-citizens voted. But they didn't figure it out until after the process was long done with.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, Yeah. It's something that's a serious problem. I think we need to get on top of it.
Well, I figured you and I would be on the same page on this one, like so many other things. Well, on that front, that's why I thought, hey, let's, you know, normally I wouldn't get a guest on, you know, unless I'm back in studio. I'd just save it for everybody who's here with us in person in Glendive. But I thought, you know what, this is timely. I knew it's something that you'd be interested in hearing about as well. So let's go to Jack Tomczak, who's with us. I've got him here on my phone. He is the Vice President of Outreach for Americans for Citizen Voting. Jack, thanks for being with us. And, yeah, tell our listeners what this amendment, what you are hoping to do here.
Aaron, thank you for having me on. Well, the amendment, the citizen-only voting amendment, I call it COVA for short. Technically, it is SB 185, and it is authored by Senator Teresa Manzella, and it'll be up in her committee today. The Senate State Administration Committee at 3:00. And what it does is that it amends the Montana Constitution to make it so only U.S. citizens are allowed to vote in Montana elections, which is how most people think it is, or at least how it should be. But most state constitutions are written in a way that guarantee that any or all or every U.S. citizen who's over 18 can vote. But that doesn't mean that that's the only group that gets to vote. And we've seen in a bunch of states, localities, municipalities with home rule abilities are choosing to make it legal for non-citizens to vote in their local municipal elections. And this kind of amendment, the citizen-only voting amendment, prevents localities from doing that.
That's great. Yeah, because it seems like there's really two things here, and I'll bring former State Senator Steve Heinbaugh into the conversation here, too. Really, there's non-citizens that are voting in our elections going unnoticed, and then it's affecting some outcomes, like we saw in Dodson, Montana, in a municipal race there, for example. And then in addition to that, you've got, you know, some of these left-wing sanctuary-style cities that are outright saying, oh, no, you don't have to be a citizen to vote. Well, that's outrageous. What question or comment would you throw back to Jack about this proposal here?
Well, first off, I just appreciate you doing this. And, of course, Teresa's a great friend of mine. She was my seatmate in the Senate for a while. And she'll do well on this bill. And one thing about her, she'll show her emotions, and that's sometimes it might not be so good, but most of the time it is. So, but anyway, we appreciate what you're doing there, and it's really important that we just have citizens vote. This all over the country has been a problem for us.
What else are you doing across the country? Obviously, Montana is focused on moving forward right now with Senator Manzella's actions later today. What else are you doing elsewhere across the country?
Well, last year in the 2024 election, we had 8 states pass a citizen-only voting amendment in November. And there are, boy, between 8 and 12 states that have bills in their legislatures now. So we are trying to be as helpful as we can, Americans for Citizen Voting, to get these bills through these legislatures, which, of course, includes Montana.
That's great to hear. How can people get involved in your efforts? I mean, I'll talk more with Senator Heinbaugh here in a second about how important it is to contact your legislators today and the various mechanisms for doing so and how impactful that can be. But big picture-wise, if there's folks who just want to be involved in your organization, Americans for Citizen Voting, and support your efforts here in Montana and all across the country, what's the best way for them to get engaged with your organization?
We encourage folks to go to our website, onlycitizens.vote. That's onlycitizens.vote. And you can contact us there and get involved with what we're doing, not only in Montana, but nationwide as well. And thank you, Aaron. Also, yes, people should contact their state legislators and ask them to support SB 185, the citizen-only voting amendment.
Much like the illegal alien gang members from Trinidad and Aragua that were just arrested here in Montana, we've had drug cartel operatives, you know, the whole country has been invaded by illegal aliens. Most in the media downplay those concerns. and most on the left will downplay those concerns. They try to do the same thing when it comes to non-citizens voting in our elections. How would you quantify or summarize why this actually is a major issue?
Well, the media does say that non-citizen voting doesn't happen at all. Well, it's legal in four states, including our nation's capital of Washington, D.C., and it is happening in 21 other cities across the country. So the media tends to say things that isn't true, Aaron.
Surprise, surprise, right?
I don't know if you're aware of that, but I'm here to let you know it's not always true what you see or hear in the media. And this issue, that is definitely the case.
Well said. All right, Jack, I appreciate your time. Jack Tomczak, thanks so much for being with us. Glad we could sneak you on. And thanks to your team for flagging this issue for us, Sam Rubino and the rest of the crew. All right. Well, back to it here with former State Senator Steve Hindbaugh. I mean, yeah, it's now some people will say, well, what does it matter if Washington, D.C. is letting non-citizens vote? That is our nation's capital. That is who is responsible for the safety and security of the American people and our elected representatives back there. And then even in California, you might say, well, what does it matter what California does or these cities do? Well, we see that with trucking regulations where because California has ports and all of these truckers eventually have to go to California at some point, what they do there, their regulations there can lead to harmful regulations that essentially get forced on the entire country. So they are forcing crazy local decisions on the rest of the country that way.
No, and I think that's, you know, I think that's exactly right. And we can see all these places we have to continue to clean up the messes that they have. You know, I see where we put a bunch of money into the homeless situation in California. Well, it just keeps growing. And because they won't do nothing about it, you know. And we were talking about that with my brother the other day about all the regulations they put on the car industry just because it's California doing it, and we got to abide by all of them, you know. And so, no, it makes a lot of difference for our country to look at the voting situation. And I think there's a lot more fraud going on in elections than we really know, you know.
Or even just simple errors that could lead to 100 votes here, a few hundred votes there. In fact, speaking of State Senator Teresa Manzella, she, you know, was part of her election integrity efforts. It was a group that she's been affiliated with that flagged that situation in Butte Silver Bowl, yeah, where they said, hey, wait a minute, there appears to be some different numbers here. Now, doesn't sound like it was anything nefarious or anything like that, but still, this is just good type of audits that should be done to ensure the integrity of the vote.
Exactly. Sideboard is what needs to happen. And we think, you know, I mean, we just need to keep checking ourselves because whether it's intentional or non-intentional, corruption can sneak in, you know. So.
When you're not warming up down in Arizona and you're back home feeding cattle, what's going through your mind? What are you saying, man, if I was in Helena right now, if I was in D.C. right now, this is what I'd be doing or this is what I'd be talking about?
Well, Aaron, people always ask me why I run for the Senate and why I want to be in legislature, and I guess maybe they think it's kind of a framed answer. I always say because of freedom, and I really mean that. You know, I had a lady come up to me the first session that I were there, and she said, "I have this great program, and we need to fund it." And I don't even remember what the program was. That's how important it was to me. So I said, you know, the state don't have money, and they don't make money. Who should we steal it from? And she, after I picked her up off the floor, she finally said, well, maybe the rich people. And I said, well, how much do you make? And she said, $50,000 a year. And I said, well, you're pretty rich, so I'll just show you where you can start.
Compared to the rest of the world, yeah, or right, even some month, that's above the median. Yeah, I mean,
And so, but the point being is people don't understand that. They think, let's have a program because the money grows on trees, and it doesn't. It comes from people, and so that's what I always tried to do. In fact, you know, they talked to me about being on the Agriculture Committee when I was first there, and I said, I don't want to have anything that's going to affect my deal.
Interesting. So even though you're in agriculture, it would have been a perfect voice for the Ag Committee. It was like, well, I'd be making decisions that personally impact me. That just didn't seem right. That's really interesting. Hold that thought. We got to take another quick break. Few minutes left as we wrap up this 8 o'clock hour, and then we'll have a whole bunch of guests also jump in the 9 o'clock hour as well.
Now here's the morning Sean Hannity update. and how refreshing it is. Put aside your political differences and just think about what a dramatic shift and change in terms of transparency and an ability of a president to have a wide range of questions. I mean, everything from about every country, reciprocal tariffs, China, India, Europe, the EU, a wide range of spontaneous topics, extemporaneous answers. The reporters are not predetermined. The questions are not predetermined. And he can go on and talk about this all day long. And we didn't have that for 4 years.
Join Sean later today, right here on the Sean Hannity Show.
It's been used as a store of value for thousands of years. It's known as a safe haven asset in times of uncertainty. It's breaking record after record this year, and many economists are predicting it could skyrocket even higher. Of course, I'm talking about the precious metal, gold. Right now, thousands of Americans are looking to precious metals like gold and silver to diversify their savings. Even central banks around the world are stocking up on gold. Is it time you learn more about what precious metals can do for you? Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. Right now, the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, is offering a free gold and silver kit to arm you with the facts about how gold could potentially help safeguard your retirement. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy of the 2025 gold and silver kit free of charge. Plus, you can receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
It's February 14th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is Valentine's Day, time to honor someone special in your life. Some trace the origins to a Christian effort to replace a pagan fertility festival that has been dated back as far as the 6th century B.C. The tradition of giving a box of candy was started in the 19th century by Richard Cadbury, a scion of a British chocolate manufacturing family. The company pounced on the opportunity to sell the chocolates as part of the beloved holiday. Also on this day in 2005, the domain name YouTube is activated by Chad Hurley, Stephen Chen, and Jod Kareem. The website was developed over the following months. In 2018, a 19-year-old man opens fire at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, killing 17 people, injuring 17 others. The killing spree is the deadliest high school shooting in U.S. history. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Well, I can see a whole bunch of friends starting to show up here now as the gate show is about to be officially underway here for the Glendive Agri Trade Expo. Running into some family, too. There's my cousin Paul right over there. Great guy. He's with Stockman Bank, not only here in Glendive, but in Terry as well. So we were talking about my Uncle Monty. That's one of his three great boys. They're my cool cowboy cousins, as I refer to them.
They're good kids, and I see Paul every Friday at the sale almost, and he gives me good advice.
He's got his Glasgow Stockyards, nice Glasgow Stockyards sweatshirt on there. I got to score one of those here, too, one of these days, because I think they're doing their bull sale. It's the Ayers Ranch bull sale. I think it's going to be later on in April Hopefully the weather will be a little nicer, because sometimes you start doing that in early April and it's still like February conditions. So
that's how it is.
Yeah. Let's see. We got a few minutes left here. Only about 3 minutes here before we run out of time this hour of this show. Give us a preview. So I put a promo together. I invited anybody who wants to join us on the microphones down here. I also reached out to you and said, hey, Steve, who'd be some great guests to join us on the show? And then, of course, the Gate Show Committee, they'll have some guests that'll join us here. So you never know who we're going to get a chance to talk with. But looks like we've got some friends already showing up here. Always good to see Mr. Tibbetts in the house. And then Shane Eaton, I think, is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour as well.
Both Shane and Todd are well-versed on the wind farm issue. And I think, again, that's another thing that is is being pushed on us with subsidies and the fake climate change situation that everybody puts us in here. And I wish we had a little more global warming today. You know, when you
get outside. Because you can feel that door open. You know, yeah. Ooh, there it goes. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. So speaking of the wind farm, I've been reading about this. We've talked about it a little bit, but yeah, there is a lot of opposition out here in eastern Montana too. Sounds like they're really trying to build a massive wind farm, and it's north of Fallon. I thought it was closer to Weibo, but don't they really want to stretch a huge chunk of terrain eventually?
They do, and it's in three or four different spots. You know, they have one in the Weibo country, and the one up in the Lindsay country, and then one in the Fallon country. And I think, there again, I think it's an unsustainable situation to where, there's too much. There's too much technology coming in now, and I think they're going to be obsolete, and we're going to have these towers sitting here that we'll get to look at forever, I think. And, you know, and of course, Senator Phelan has a bill in Helena to require bonding for wind farms, and they don't have to do it until year 15 after they're all wore out. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it's like if you're a mine and you do mining, you have to put up a bond. So you'd think there'd be a similar requirement for these massive carbon-intensive-to-build wind power deals. Yeah, and by the way, I did see, everybody's kind of here at the gate in Glendale. I did see the wind company has a booth here at the trade show as well. So, hey, you can come down and talk with them. And of course, the microphones are open to them as well if they want to come join us. I know somebody from the company, one of the company reps reached out a few months ago and said, hey, would you like to have some of these folks on the radio? I said, yeah, they're welcome on the radio. I said, but just FYI, I know a lot of our listeners really don't like these windmills because it's like, here, what is one of the best things about Big Sky Country? The open sky and the horizon and looking out. And even Jim in Great Falls will tell you he doesn't like seeing those red lights between Lewistown and Great Falls when you're driving and you're making that drive, down through Stanford and Belt and everything. And it's just like, wow, the best thing about Montana is our horizon and the skyline. And people just feel like it just ruins it.
Yeah, Aaron, we're probably about ready to quit now, are we? I was chairman of Fish and Game, and so I dealt a lot with the perpetuity easements and how we want to keep everything nice. But when we put these wind farms on, you can see them for 50 miles.
All gets thrown out the window, yeah. Well, hey, stick around if you can for the 9 o'clock hour, because we're so glad we had this extra hour with you. But we'll try to sneak in the 9 o'clock hour as well and see who all else is going to join us on the microphone.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Any graduate student can make things complicated. An old mentor of mine once told me as a student, it takes a genius to make things simple. And we clearly celebrate simplicity. Why simplicity? In all aspects of life. Einstein's famous equation, the golden rule, even football coach Al Davis telling us to just win, baby. But here's the rub. With the new tools of AI, artificial intelligence, complexity is no longer the barrier to making decisions that it used to be. AI can be thought of as a prediction machine that lets us take literally trillions of pieces of information into account to make decisions. The kinds of filters we use to make complicated questions understandable may give worse results than tools which literally consider everything. Of course, humans ultimately need to understand why an AI machine came to a conclusion. If the computer tells you to step off the cliff, do you do it? Simple explanations may be valuable, but in an AI world, they aren't always the best. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.